Dissolution by Stéphane Molyneux, freedomain.com. Chapter 9. I can't stand it anymore, cried Derek, falling face first onto the couch. Even though he couldn't see her, Chloe nodded slowly. Take your time, she said. After a moment, he rolled over, grinding the heels of his hands into his eye sockets. Oh, it's all just so mealy-mouthed, he struggled to sit up. That's the weakest kind of condemnation, but I'm far too ironic to talk about it Old Testament style. She sat in an armchair opposite him. Light from the dusty condo windows washed over them. Dusty only from the outside, of course. Chloe kept an immaculate home. Derek said, You're the moralist. In the family, you know, I am not, he finished lamely. Chloe said nothing. I just rebel against it. Always underquoting clients, telling them, lying, Chloe, lying, how long something will take, and then just extending it and milking everything. His voice lowered as if he thought the walls had ears. And it's like everywhere, babe. Vendors lie to us. We lie to clients. Clients mislead us. Just a weird merry-go-round of falsehood. I feel like I'm going into meetings with the Monty Python coconuts pretending to have a horse. That is tough, she said neutrally. I guess I thought my life would be something more than just being like some Middle Eastern street vendor hawking crap to scared tourists. She was quiet. Derek glanced at her with irritation. Nothing to say? Chloe smiled slowly. I've said my piece many, many times. Oh, I heard that secret sigh, he said with a scant smile. You have a problem. I want to help you, my lover, my husband. We exist to help each other. But if you don't want my help, I guess all I can do is listen, right? Your help is mad, Chloe. Just mad. Go on. Derek raked his fingers through his hair. I can't just go start a business. That's for older people, more experienced people. I don't have any access to capital. It costs like 50 grand to start an accounting business, bare minimum. Right? Where are we going to dig up that kind of scratch? He waved his hands. I know. Take out a second mortgage. That's not all. Or, yeah, like sell the condo, cash in hand, go rent like hobo gypsies. But we have so much invested in this place, Chloe. I can't risk all that. Do you love money, Derek? What? Do you love money? What? I don't, said Chloe simply. I grew up poor. Now we have some money. Good money. You're great at your job. Am I happier? When I was a kid, we did everything for free. Played in the woods, built forts, fished with spring and curtain hangers, climbed trees. We all got dirty and happy for free. Derek laughed. That wasn't my experience. Yeah, I remember that story of your dad's. Not really a story, but everything you and your sister did was like $100. Play centers, mall trips, sports, everything cost money. I've lived both sides. Am I happier with money? Yes and no. I think of our kids. What are they going to do stuck in a condo? We should rent a place with land, right? Get some animals, not just pets, which are lame, real animals. Eggs, meat, manure, you know? Kids that play in the dirt and collect tadpoles, not these bubble-wrapped kids that can only exist in some kind of external structure. Like you're gaming, right? When I was a kid, we had to make up and enforce our own rules. If you cheated, you just didn't get invited back. Kids went to play somewhere else. It was like a ghost town. We played sports without any coaches or umpires. I was about to say vampires, but you see what I mean. What about my gaming? Derek's face was slightly guilty. So you played games at arcades for prizes, right? Everything was regimented, controlled. You never had to negotiate anything with the other kids. Like tag, does touching only the tip of the shirt count? What do you do if you're playing Marco Polo when the kid opens his eyes? Not out of danger, just cheating. Hey, that reminds me of your work. Like the point of play as kids is to negotiate and learn real penalties for cheating. And everything you did and do a bit, I guess, is regimented. What does that mean? Like, when you play your game, it's the computer that enforces the rules, the server, right? You never have to negotiate. It's all an external structure. Is that better?
Well, there's less conflict about the rules.
Chloe nodded energetically. Right, right. But is that better? Your parents paid, so you had almost no conflict as a kid.
Well, except my sister.
Chloe shook her head in mild frustration. But that wasn't fighting about rules, just stuff. And you never really got to, or learned to, resolve those conflicts, right? You just got all hoity-toity and civilized. Cold. My brother and I fought, for sure, but we found a way to resolve things and move forward. We're close now, right? In a way, you and Helen just aren't.
We are a tad formal, admitted Derek.
Yes, Chloe paused. I think that because you've always had money, like your family, that you're terrified of losing, of being broke, she laughed. It's like prison. If you've been to prison, you know it's not so bad, right? But you've never been to... Hang on, erase that. That's a terrible analogy. But you know what I mean.
Derek's voice lowered again. It's... But how did you handle being looked down on? Like the old clothes, the four-color car, the Frankenbikes.
It actually got down to deodorant, believe it or not. My bro got pulled aside by the gym teacher and told he smelled nicely, but not much fun.
Your parents didn't notice?
We lived in the country. Everything was vivid.
Right. So how did you handle it?
Chloe laughed. Oh, the usual. By being superior?
Superior?
Derek was genuinely surprised. Oh, yeah. We were the beasts of the jungle. You were all just delicate and hysterical house cats. Always sniffing, allergic to everything, constant earaches and runny noses. She shrugged. We were natural. You were unnatural. Zoo animals. You need your hypoallergenic food and your shots. Derek shuddered.
Oh, man. The idea that you weren't vaccinated.
It's a scam, said Chloe simply.
I know your case.
You think the only corruption is in business? Accounting? You guys are total amateurs. War, medicine, funny money. Those are the real crimes.
Derek laughed bleakly and shook his head. Every time I sit down with your mom, I feel like I'm losing my mind.
She's gone half-blind researching this kind of stuff, but I never got sick. I don't know how parents live with that fear. That's how they get you, right? Let me inject the kid or he dies.
Creepy.
It is. But anyway, we don't have to decide that just yet. Your job. You were raised by hovering parents, bubble boy. You don't know how to manage risk.
And you do?
I do know that risk can't be managed. You embrace it, or you don't. And there's no such thing as no risk. I mean, you became a gamer because your parents wanted you in the house, because you lived in the burbs and there are cars and scary neighbors and busybodies who call the cops if a kid is out unattended. Derek shook his head sadly.
There was like no one in my neighborhood. Like a neutron bomb. All the parents worked. Kids came home from daycare at like 6 p.m. They had to eat, do homework, bathe. They weren't allowed out, really. Me either. Saturdays were for errands and family gatherings, somewhere else or in the backyard. All I heard was people having fun on the other side of houses. Maybe I could see the side of a bouncy castle. But all the food was totally foreign. Mostly people spoke, well, not English. I was invited, but it wasn't really inviting, you know? Like my friend Serdar. He was from Turkey, and his parents gave me a big glass of milk, and I almost threw up. It was full of sugar. He always used to say, "Off the light, Derek, off the light." Derek laughed. What do I have to do with an extended Turkish family where no one spoke English? I didn't know any of the games, and Serdar would just race off and play with his cousins.
Derek's eyes were distant, sad. Right, so you stayed home.
especially when I got older. My mom freaked out whenever a van came down the street. God help the driver if there weren't any logos, or even worse, windows. Chloe smiled. And we were broke and could play anywhere with anyone. Not a lot of Turks in the deep northern woods. You grew up in a squash court, so white.
Well, it was efficient for play, said Chloe, without offense or defensiveness.
And we learned how to manage conflict and risk. Like rope swinging. I tried to do what my brother did and my arms just gave out. It was the strangest thing. Like they just said a total nope and dropped me on the rocks in the river. The same river I hiked through and cut my foot on something. Fell down, my finger went totally into my foot. Hobbled back, got my stitches. Man, I still think that doctor didn't freeze me enough because I was making jokes and he was a sadist maybe because it felt like an amputation. My mom got into this mad fight with the nurse about a tetanus shot. Apparently the shot is more dangerous than tetanus. And the nurse said, she could die, there's no cure for tetanus, and even threatened to call CAS. But my mom stood firm and threatened to sue and grilled the nurse on how common tetanus was. And if she'd even seen one case. And it was pretty cool. I was just young enough to not die from cringe. I admired her resolution. Then and now. Not so much in the middle, my middle teens. My mom is good at figuring out risk. We went out and played, and I needed 6 stitches. But you just staying inside like a houseplant?
I played sports, protested Derek.
Chloe's lips curled in faint disgust.
Yeah, but it was organized sports. Totally gay.
Man, if political correctness ever becomes law, you'll get the death penalty. She laughed.
Don't be retarded. So you're like a one variable guy. I mean, your parents didn't throw you off your nerd box because they only thought of one variable. He's safer at home. But they didn't think of anything else. That's your mom, I bet.
Derek was curious.
Like, what?
Well, all the social skills you missed out on by staring at screens.
Chloe held up her hand.
And yeah, I know you were talking online sometimes, but not learning how to manage any real risk, any physical danger, or how to negotiate rules. You know? And you did get kind of soft. Anxious, a little, right? You don't know how to enforce rules with good humor. It's all deadly, so you avoid it.
Wait, I'm sorry, that's too absolute.
Your caution is a good balance to me.
We'd live in a treehouse if I had my way.
But we do need something in between.
Her eyes twinkled suddenly.
And I have a thought about all this.
Derek blinked.
Wait, these weren't your thoughts?
She laughed.
Silence. When did you first talk about all this work stuff being unbearable, babe?
Derek frowned.
Maybe like 2 weeks ago?
Chloe snapped her fingers.
Perfect. Exactly.
What?
So I've been dreaming about my childhood for like 2 weeks straight. People coming to life at night I haven't thought of in years. I don't even remember some of their names, which is shameful because I used to take this weird pride in remembering everyone's names.
Remember that night you grilled me on all the names of your childhood friends? The Jamaican guy who never paid you back, your friend with asthma who could honk like a moose, the British guy now studying to be an optometrist who used the word orgasm instead of organism in science class, who played Nayrab the Arab in Dungeons and Dragons?
Chloe giggled. See, I even remember the name of the fictional character. And I'm back on my rope swings as a kid and stealing my brother's Halloween candy because I'm a greedy pig and being spun on the tire until I threw up and singing into hair dryers on sleepovers and teaching that city kid how to catch a crayfish while he just whined that they reminded him of cockroaches. Hey, that's how he said it. And all that stuff just comes up like a geyser from the past and I couldn't figure out why. And then you, my dearest of dears, you at almost exactly the same time find corruption.
I can say it, I'm totally Old Testament.
Unbearable. And want to clean house, in a way. You see?
I don't see what you see.
Chloe leaned over the couch and kissed Derek's forehead.
Life is coming, my love, she murmured.
Derek blinked. What?
From me. From us.
I... Oh my God. Derek reached up and pulled Chloe down on the couch with him.
You are big with child.
She smacked him gently on the head. Hey, I'm not big with anything, Buster. She laughed. But I will be. I will be.
That is, oh my God, Chloe, that is wonderful.
I thought you might be happy.
Happy? I'm over the moon. How did you know?
Oh, mysterious voodoo ways. Derek paused, then bit the side of his thumb. Oh, man, I can't quit now, Chloe sighed. 15 to 20 seconds, bro.
What?
You were happy for 15 to 20 seconds.
No, it's not that. I'm thrilled, and I'm just touching base. Quitting's off the table. It's kind of a relief, actually.
Chloe took a deep breath. Why is quitting off the table?
It's because... Derek shook his head rapidly. Forget that. It's time to celebrate.
He jumped up from the couch.
Take you to Chippendales. Get you nice and drunk.
Chloe laughed again.
You can dance for me, big boy.
But seriously, why not quit now?
Because the baby?
You devil, you. Her face was serious.
What?
Does your child, your beloved child, want filthy money or happy and moral parents?
I feel very uncomfortable with that question.
Yeah, because of your parents.
Sorry, that was way too abrupt.
Look, love, I'd rather live under a bridge than take dirty money.
It's not dirty, it's just mildly compromised.
Chloe's face was very still. Derek swallowed. Silence reigned.